Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Empowering Family Caregivers on Blog Talk Radio. I am Susan Bida, your host and co-founder of eCareDiary.com, the sponsor of this show. Today, the focus of our show is geriatric and home health care. So to help shed light on this, I am very pleased to introduce our distinguished guest, Barbara London, who is the Senior Vice President of Freedom Elder Care of New Jersey. Freedom Elder Care of New Jersey is a full-service, licensed healthcare company providing quality, compassionate home health care, geriatric care management, and elder care education for both families and professionals. Barbara has been in the geriatrics field for the past 25 years, and she has been the founder and president of the New Jersey Adult Daycare Association. She was also the opening executive director of an assisted living facility in New Jersey, as well as the executive director of a large geriatric care management firm. So if you have any questions about geriatric care management and long-term care, I think Barbara is our go-to person. Barbara, thank you for joining us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Susan.
So, Barbara, for the vast majority of families out there, I think many of us don't understand what geriatric care management is, and even mm-hmm. some of us, such as myself and my husband John, when we were in the throes of caring for my father-in-law several years ago, were not aware of geriatric care management helps. So can you shed some light on that?
Yes, absolutely. And a lot of people are still confused about this excellent resource that can help people through what really is a very daunting myriad of labyrinth of services that are available. A geriatric care manager, a good one, a seasoned one, is usually either a nurse or a social worker of a higher level with a great deal of experience who can assist an individual and their family, whoever their family may be, maybe a spouse, maybe adult children, maybe a sibling, into addressing the levels and spheres that affect their life: medical, psychological, nutritional, financial, residential, religious. And through an assessment of what the client needs or wants, is able to create some kind of plan that could be short-term or longer-term, fluid or fixed, in a way that would help the client and family deal with the challenges that are posed by aging. And it's usually done through consultation. There are advocacy aspects of it, monitoring aspects, mediation when family members don't agree. It's basically to create a plan or some kind of map of where you need to go based on what's happening in the person's life at that moment.
Well, thank you very much for that explanation. And so what kind of qualifications does a geriatric care manager have? Like, what should families really look for in terms of education and certification?
There is the National Association of Geriatric Care Managers, so they should first check online and see that someone is legitimate. Very often the person's credentials would include having a master's prepared social work degree, an RN.
Meaning registered nurse, yeah.
Absolutely. Registered nurses are great resources in care managers. Whether it's a solo practice or a multiple professional practice can be even more helpful. Some practices have nurses and social workers, and sometimes the issue for the client or their family might present as a more psychiatric issue or a more medical or clinical issue. So a group practice that has both is even, you know, multiplies your possibility for success.
Right.
And some people can use it very short term so that they know what the options are and are very capable of executing what's called a care plan. And some people are long distance caregivers and can't be there. Therefore, monitoring and checking in can be a very valuable service that a geriatric care manager provides, even if it means, you know, a professional taking an elderly person to a physician's office and knowing what the physician has said, because the older person may be panicked or not really hearing or understanding what the physician is expecting the client to do. Mm. So they serve as a go-between and a gatekeeper for a family that may be far away or close and just can't get to it.
So, for example, there's a, for example, let's say an elder woman lives in New Jersey, and her son, who's her, let's say her only son, who's in charge of her, who's her only, I guess, living relative, mm-hmm. Lives out in California.
Absolutely.
He can hire a geriatric care manager near his mother to basically help with her plan and attend appointments and such.
And be there for a crisis and let him know when it's appropriate to fly in from California or
right.
when it's, you know, a scare but not something he needs to leave his life and job for. We've
right.
had clients whose family live abroad. And, mm-hmm. and you know, it's very hard, this long-distance caregiving. And it doesn't mean a lack of devotion. But in this very sophisticated society, children are not winding up where their parents are very often. And
right.
they want to be devoted. They just don't know how to do that
right.
from London. So
right.
it's a great, great idea for assisting long-distance caregivers as well as those who are close.
Great. So I a little later on, I also want to talk about costs.
Mm-hmm.
But I first want to talk now about home care because I think there might be some confusion between home care and geriatric care. So
mm-hmm.
would you do us the favor of explaining exactly what is home care?
Okay, and home care may be one of the most confusing services in the continuum of care to the elderly and their family. That even professionals, that even I didn't understand, being in the geriatric world for 20 years, the nuances of home care. And I must mention, since you reach a very broad national audience, that I can only speak to New Jersey, and one must really be checking the regulations in their state, because Florida is very different from New Jersey, as is California and North Carolina.
Okay.
So when I speak and I quote things, it will be New Jersey-based.
Okay.
Home care is, in the state of New Jersey, a licensed service. That's not necessarily the case everywhere. So that in the state of New Jersey, someone must make an application to the Department of Consumer Affairs. It is an accountable service where there are regulations within the industry that must be followed to be what would be considered in New Jersey a legitimate home care firm. Some of those things would include, Susan, only hiring legal caregivers, AIDS caregivers, we tend to call them at Freedom.
Right.
Means that they have gone through training and an examination by the State Board of Nursing. Means
okay.
that they are criminally records checked, that they are reference checked, that they are fingerprinted, and that they are supervised by a registered nurse. And then there are all kinds of regulations for what that registered nurse is supposed to do. The
okay.
most important thing for family caregivers to understand is that these caregivers who are supervised by Freedom and other health services firms that are similar is that they're our employees. We do it legitimately. We do it legally. We pay their taxes. We pay liability insurance. We train them. There is accountability to a registered nurse for their practice. Most importantly, we pay workman's compensation. So in the state of New Jersey, a health services firm is a private pay only offering to families who need any level of care. Some agencies can do a couple hours of care all the way up to live-in or what we would consider to 12-hour shifts, which is round-the-clock awake care.
Right.
The other piece that can be done through a health services firm is Medicaid home care. And that means that someone in the state of New Jersey already has to have been qualified to be eligible for Medicaid. And
right.
people very often, I'm sure many of your caregivers, although I see it less, are very confused between Medicare and Medicaid. And I guess the little trick that I've tried to teach people over the years is Medicare has the word care at the end of it. It is health insurance. And it is a right to all Americans. There are a few deviations, but for the purpose of this conversation, it's a right of all Americans at the age of 65 plus to have Medicare, at least for now. We'll see what will happen in the future. Medicaid has the word aid in it, and AID means money, and that's usually tied to a means test so that people who receive Medicaid funding are indeed deemed to be in need financially of assistance from the state and government, as well as medically.
Mm-hmm.
Medicare covers a tiny, tiny bit of home care, generally subsequent to a hospitalization or in a rehabilitation facility, and
mm-hmm.
post-rehabilitation, very few hours. And Medicaid is something entirely different and has to be determined by a case manager how much care the person is eligible.
Right.
So
Medicare will only cover temporarily, home care temporarily, as a
very short-term,
long-term.
Episodic related to a hospitalization.
Got it.
And that's the confusion. A lot of families have said, my goodness, my father or mother has been paying into the Medicare system their entire lives, and you're telling me that they can only get 2 hours of care? Yes.
Right.
And that's the shock that most families deal with. They have no idea how little is covered under Medicare.
Right.
So then there's also what's called registry home care, which is kind of like an employment agency. And what few people realize, including professionals, is that in the state of New Jersey, registries are illegal to hire home health aides. They are very legal for staffing or the placement of RNs and LPNs. However, many agencies in New Jersey promote themselves as home health agencies, and they're not. They're employment agencies, and buyer beware. Because no taxes are being paid, certainly no liability, and workman's comp is being paid. And when a caregiver is injured because your mother has fallen and she's fallen down with her and she's now injured her back, the employer is the family, and they would then be responsible for all the bills associated with that injury.
Wow.
So people really need to do their homework.
Okay.
And it's becoming harder and harder to decipher what's real and what's not, and what's legit and what's not. And that's a concern.
Can you recap what you've just covered under home care? So it's private pay, and then there's you mentioned the three different or four different.
There's private pay. There's Medicare. There's Medicaid. There is also private pay that can be covered by long-term care insurance.
Okay.
If someone was wise enough to purchase that.
Right.
And then there are certain segments of home care that can be paid for by private insurance, but not by health insurance per se.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another misunderstanding of the public at large, that they can use their Blue Cross Blue Shield in certain very special circumstances. That's why it's so daunting, because there's so many minute exceptions. But I've seen, for example, retired teachers who were lucky enough to have some kind of clause that covered some home care. By and large, though, health insurance does not cover this.
Okay. Well, thank you for clarifying that, because I think there's a lot of confusion, and I think you've really, I think, at least for me, clarified the differences now of how we can pay for home care.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when we're thinking about elders, we're really thinking about long-term home care.
Generally speaking, yes, it's not episodic. It's going to be for the duration.
Now, so let's talk about home health aides.
Mm-hmm.
And home care and the home environment.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the question I have is, when does someone know when is the right time to seek a home health aide?
Good question.
In our personal experience, we came out of emergency with my father-in-law,
mm-hmm.
and he we realized that he was falling more, so we suggested to him that he have home health, and he was very adamantly against it.
Mm-hmm.
So when do you know, who makes that decision, and how do you go about bringing someone in?
Some parents make it easier on us than others, quite frankly. Some, as much as I've seen families who try to be proactive, who try to plan, and certainly many baby boomers are very good at that. We're marketing people, we're planners, and some parents just don't allow it. And I think the important thing is, if somehow we can find a balance and be respectful, that our parents are adults and sometimes make really, really bad decisions, and so do we as younger adults and their adult children, that if we can somehow, you know, wait until it's almost as much their idea as it is ours, but that's very hard because we see people that we love who we feel are unsafe. And where is the line between being respectful and being proactive?
Right.
In many cases, Susan, it is the emergency that triggers a do-or-die kind of the bell tolls, you know.
Right.
And very often it's a very difficult discussion to have with our parent who has always been in a position of guiding us, and suddenly the role is somewhat reversed and uncomfortable for many. I think when we're getting angry or resentful of the caregiving role, I think when there's an emergency, someone has to take some responsibility. I think when, as adult children or people involved in this person's life, when we become concerned for their safety, for their hygiene, for their proper nutrition, for their ability to remember to take medications, we have to have a difficult discussion. But that's, again, where the geriatric care manager can be very valuable. You know, I have spoken to colleagues who themselves are geriatric care managers who, to their parents, are just their kids, and they're not going to listen to their kids, but no matter how expert they are. On the other hand, I've seen where it's been very difficult to have this discussion with a beloved parent out of respect, frustration, whatever the reason, and hiring a geriatric care manager as a Father's Day gift, as a Christmas gift, as dad, you know, there's someone I'd like you to see. Believe it or not, they're even experts in how to figure this all out. Please just accept this visit, and we'll see where we go. I've seen some amazing results. And then there are others who will have to wait for the catastrophe because they just won't move. And that's hard for us to watch, but doing something with your parents will be much more beneficial than really pushing it down their throats.
All right, so let's say we've done let's say we've convinced our parent to have outside help.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the key criteria for choosing a good firm, a home health firm or geriatric care management firm?
All right, well, some of them I mentioned. First, check out their credentials. Are they indeed licensed? And sometimes you need to do your due diligence and go as deeply as saying, may I see that license? I've had many people call me and talk about the disparity in pricing between, let's say, a Freedom and someone else they've called. And
Right. And
certainly there can be deviations of $5, $10, especially in a New York metropolitan area. But
Right.
when someone's quoting me $75 a day less for a live-in,
Right.
I know they're not dealing with a legitimate agency. And they'll say, no, they told me they were a licensed company. And my advice to them is that Dunkin' Donuts is also a licensed company, but you wouldn't want them taking care of your parent. So it has to be a very specific license, and that's licensure to run a home health agency. So I think one of the first things. I think it's absolutely fair and reasonable to ask if one wants to feel more comfortable to ask for a sit-down with some major person in the company. Someone, can they come to the office for a visit? Is someone willing to go to their home and have a discussion? No matter how pretty the website is, you want to see what's behind that website and what's beyond the message.
Right.
What do they believe in? What are their ideals? Can you speak to someone who's used the services?
Mm-hmm.
Because word of mouth is very, very potent. This is, you know, we're not talking about car repairs. We're talking about our parents.
Right.
So we really need to do our homework, and the best way to do it is have the parent involved in that process to the extent they are able as well, because
Right.
the more control they feel about this, the more you're going to be successful.
Right.
So checking references, having interviews, checking on licenses, I think are all very critical.
Terrific. Thank you for clarifying that. And I do believe a lot of states do offer licenses. I know that you mentioned that there are a lot of differences across the country about
mm-hmm.
this, but I think the vast majority of states offer licenses to operate a home health agency. So,
right, but the criteria can vary. So just know that, you know, what you're comparing. And then there are also, you know, there's also the opportunity of calling the state to see if there are any complaints lodged against the company, like
a
Better Business.
Great advice. Now, let's talk a little bit about, when our parent needs round-the-clock care at home
mm-hmm.
versus, you know, should we actually be putting, you know, should mm-hmm. should they actually be going to a nursing home?
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, it's a very difficult decision. And there, one is not necessarily a substitute for the other. One can, for sure, delay the need for the second. And in that case, I'm obviously referring to staying at home longer than going into a nursing home, what I would consider to be premature. And having run a nursing home and assisted living and a home mm-hmm. care company, though there is no substitute, and I believe this in my heart, for a good nursing home, because if someone requires round-the-clock RN and physician care, it's very difficult, let alone costly, to provide that at home.
Right.
But I believe that's the placement of last resort. So to me, the two main differences between staying at home with round-the-clock care and finding a good nursing home for a loved one is cost is number one, because depending on your geography in the country, the cost becomes more and more disparate depending on where you are. In the New York metropolitan area, for example, the average cost of a live-in for home care is somewhere between $55 and $6,500 a month. That's not inexpensive. That's a certain niche of the market, and I understand that. But a private nursing home in our area is between $10,000 and $14,000 a month. So right off the bat, it's almost double.
Right.
And what the nursing home does provide, which is the RN, very few elderly people I know require skilled nursing round the clock. They require someone there at all times, but not skilled nursing. They're not on IVs and ventilators and trachs. They need someone at home. So what you also get with home care versus a nursing home is one-on-one. I don't care how fantastic the nursing home is. They don't provide, nor do they promise to provide, one-on-one care.
Right.
The other thing is, where does the elderly client want to be? And, Susan, every study I've ever read suggests that 93% of people over the age of 75 say they want to live at home.
Sure.
If we're able to do it, because we can afford care, because we can afford some retrofitting of a home, sometimes the difference between staying home and going to a nursing home is a bathtub that you can get into or a toilet seat that's raised and bars throughout the house so that you're safe. And by all means, please remove scattered rugs, okay, so you don't break a hip. But people want to stay at home. And if that can be done, then that's what should be done.
Right. And then there's the issue, however, that, you know, I've heard oftentimes that elders have to kind of, eat through their savings in order to qualify for Medicaid, which will then pay for the full cost of nursing homes. Do you see a lot of that happening?
Well, I'm sorry, repeat it. You've seen what?
Well, so, you know, one of the things that I hear most often is that, you know, it's easier sometimes for people to be in nursing homes from a financial standpoint because Medicaid will cover it. And elders have to kind of live down their last savings in order to qualify for Medicaid, which will then pay for the nursing home care.
There is no doubt that, at least again, in the state of New Jersey, and there has always been a bias towards long-term care institutionalization through the Medicaid program. If seniors were given the same allowance to stay in the community that the state pays for them to be in a nursing home, then we wouldn't be going into nursing homes prematurely. You're right. Medicaid will pay for you in a nursing home where they will not, and again, in the state of New Jersey, no one in the state of New Jersey gets live-in help under Medicaid.
Right.
So, but my other advice is if your caregivers who are caring for their loved ones are in what's called a spend-down mode to be able to become eligible for Medicaid, it's yet another reason to use a licensed home care company, because when Medicaid does their review and you say, look, I've been a great son, and for the last 4 years I've used every penny of my mother's own money to care for her at home with dignity, and she's outlived that. I've spent $70,000 a year to honor her by keeping her at home, and now the savings is gone. You need to prove to Medicaid that you have spent that money on your mother and that you don't now have a villa in Tuscany.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have had a private person who you've been paying under the table and don't have checks and receipts and bills for, then you're really up the creek, because now you can't prove that you spent the money and you don't have any to get into the nursing home. And you're going to have to show where $300,000, $400,000 went. And people try to outsmart the Medicaid rule. That's a scenario that's very sad. So many elder care attorneys advise people to use, even though it costs more. Now, if you're in a spend-down mode for Medicaid, then you don't necessarily have to be protecting an asset, because your goal is to spend down, not to save.
Right.
So people who say, well, but I can get a lot more care for a lot longer if I go with the underground and pay $10 an hour for instead of $20, well, that's great, except now you have no proof, and so what? You've kept someone home a little bit longer, but now you're not eligible for the nursing home.
Wow.
So there's so many considerations, and it's hard. Again, a geriatric care manager can advise, hopefully not before it's too, you know, before it's too late.
Barbara, thank you very much for, you know, sharing these details with our audience, because I think a lot of people are out there trying, you know, doing this sort of balancing act of, you know, what should we do? Should I hire my housekeeper who's going to be, you know, significantly less? And I have to, you know, I will admit that on our side of the family, my father-in-law loved his housekeeper and wanted her to basically become his his home health aide, you know.
I understand.
And
it happens every day.
So, you know, fortunately we weren't.
How'd that go for him?
Well, you know, we ended up actually using her just a couple of days, and then, you know, we had a home health aide come in for the majority of the week. So, I mean,
it's a strong attachment.
Yeah.
I see it all the time, the housekeeper of 35 years.
Yeah.
And the change to a stranger is very, very difficult. When I just today, and it happens every day, Susan, someone said, well, I need 12 hours of care I don't want to live in. Well, a live-in is actually more economical than 12 hours of care. But you know what? A live-in is an intimate stranger living with you. And for this cohort group, that takes a lot of time to adjust to.
Yeah.
So, you know, chocolate and vanilla, different strokes for different folks, and combinations have worked in the past.
Well, you know, Barbara, thank you again for coming on the show and clarifying all these, I think, very confusing aspects of home health care, geriatric care, and how we pay for it, and sort of, you know, the dangerous loophole we can get ourselves into by spending down and not doing it the right way. So I really appreciate your bringing your expertise into this. Tell us about, you know, just to finish up, and I think I also want to remind the audience that if they want to learn more about Freedom Elder Care, they can go to www.freedomeldercare.com, and they're based in New Jersey. Tell us again about your services. So you do geriatric care management.
We're predominantly a home health care, private home health care company, but also doing nursing care services and other kinds of contracts in health care. We do serve the entire state. So it's not just northern New Jersey, it's southern New Jersey. We kind of specialize right now in live-in care and have for a long time, so that we're able to cover the state and seen as one of the leaders in the field. And I guess one of the biggest differences of Freedom is, as I've expressed to you, how important geriatric care management is and how helpful it can be. At Freedom, because we believe so strongly in it, all of our clients receive care management free of charge, because families need this help, and that's how strongly we feel about it. And one of the other things we offer as I close is, if your listeners, you know, are looking for generic information, not necessarily state specific, we do have an informational hotline, and we welcome them to call at any time. Spending this kind of time with a family member that helps them go in the right direction is also at the core of what Freedom believes
in. Wonderful. What is that hotline?
That hotline is 888. It's toll-free. I'm sorry. It's 866-737-3336, or they can think of 866-7-FREEDOM. And
wonderful. And it's a free call.
We welcome anyone. It's a free call and a free consultation.
Oh, excellent. Thank you very much. I want to thank our audience for tuning in, and I'd like to invite all of you to join us next Tuesday, April 12th, at 2 p.m. Eastern when I will be interviewing Kim Linder, who's the founder of Senior Holistic Living, which is a resource center for elders, and she's also the host of the Caregiver Hour radio show down in Tampa, Florida. To learn more about eCare Diary and our upcoming shows, please sign up for our newsletters on www.ecarediary.com. There is a newsletter sign-up form right on the homepage. And you can find us on any of the social media venues, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. And my Twitter address is eCareDiarySusan if you're interested in following me. Thank you, Barbara, for joining
us
again.
Susan, a pleasure. And great service to caregivers. Thank you, Free Diary.
Thank you very much. And Barbara is, again, of FreedomElderCare.com. Thank you again, and we'd love to have you back.
Good day.
Take care.
Bye-bye.